Amen. Are we on? Yes. Yes. Well, I just want to greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, first of all. And the one thing I'm thinking about this morning is a journey. And I would like to take everyone on a journey. Y'all are going on a journey. Everyone is on a journey. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has had something happen in their life. Everyone is on a journey, okay? But I want you to stop and ponder, where have you been, where are you at, and where are you going? Where have you been, where are you at, and where are you going? Now, for some, that's painful to look back at where you've been. And some, it's painful to look at where you're at. And some aren't sure where they're going. So I want to be very careful how I say this, but if you allow your past to be your present, it will ruin your future. Now, I'm not talking about good things in the past. I'm talking about painful journeys. And all because of choices that we made. We made a lot of choices in life, and my journey has been a struggle. I don't know if it'll ever go away as a struggle, because if we don't struggle, we're not gaining, I don't think. And if you ever think you get to a plateau in life and everything just stops, you better start looking and searching, because life is not about a plateau. It's about keeping on climbing, because Jesus is waiting at the top. Actually, Jesus is right here with you, but the heavens are waiting at the top. At the end of your journey, God is waiting to call each one of us home and has a kingdom there for us, has a place prepared for us. And as Jesus said, where I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and bring you unto myself. And I just think that's awesome that we can focus ahead. Focus on where do you plan to be? Where do you plan to be 10 years from now? What do you expect to be happening in your life down the road? And that all depends on where are you at today and what is your focus from here. And I invite you this morning to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. And I want to just go through a little bit of the life of Cain. Cain and Abel. And for you children, I'm sure that you have studied at times about Cain and Abel, even in children's stories. But there's some things that I've been learning about Cain that is just exciting. Not necessarily exciting, but it's exciting to see that, you know what, we struggle in the same ways that Cain did. Starting in verse 2, starting toward the end of the verse, it says, Cain worked the soil. And then in verse 3, it says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Now, I want you to think about it. Everyone, I shouldn't say this, but I think everyone knows kind of the story of Cain and Abel. Now, Cain was the oldest of the children. Abel was the second. Did I got that right? I think so. Yes, I know it is. And anyway, Cain was a farmer as far as in the crops. He had the sowed in the fields, and yeah, he had all the crops. But Abel had the cattle, and I'm not going to decipher between the two of them. There's no difference. But the one thing that happened here in verse 3, it says, in the course of time, Cain brought forth some, okay, some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Now, you would think as you're going through your life and as you're journeying through life, if you would just give this much of your life to God, that should be acceptable, right? A little bit to his service, a little bit to honoring God, a little bit, just a little bit. You would think Cain had a right to be angry, wouldn't you? Today, as you look at your life, where are you at? Are you giving some? Or are you giving the best? Are we just giving some? Abel, it says in verse 4, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Now, the fat portions, meaning the best, it's just the best, the greatest part of his flock he brought to God. And the firstborn is just the firstborn. I mean, most times when you finally get a profit, okay, think about it. If you got cattle and you're firstborn, you finally get a profit, wouldn't you be excited to keep that so you can get more stock, so you can get more stock, and somewhere down the road, you're going to give something to God. That's how a human mind wants to think. Somewhere down the road, we're going to give something to God. Not so. Not so. Abel brought the fat portions of the firstborn of his flock, not down the road after he created a herd, he gave the firstborns. Okay? And then it says there, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Now, I want us to think about that for a minute. Do you ever feel like Cain? Did you ever feel like Cain? Were you given and you gave something of service? You've done something and you expected God to accept that. You expected God to accept that. Does it ever feel like that God doesn't look on your life or what you have to offer? Does it ever feel like he looks on that and rejects it? Does it ever feel that way? That maybe he doesn't accept what I'm offering? I invite you this morning to look inside yourself and ask, what am I giving? What do I have to offer? And we all have something to offer. I'm not going there that we don't have anything. We all have something to offer. And God is looking for our best. He's looking for the greatest and the best inside that we have to offer. God doesn't just want us to be half-hearted about it. And I'm talking about when we're offering our best, I'm talking about in our praises to God. I'm talking in crying out to God. I'm talking about even in sharing the gospel with those around us. And in the church, the brethren in the church, sharing life. As Tommy said, I can't get done talking about what it means to share life. There is something so powerful about life and the words of the tongue that bring death and life. And believe me, I know how to bring death. In my own human nature, I can definitely quickly speak something that is death. I mean, immediately, boom, just falls and kills. It kills the soul of man. It kills the spirit. It kills the flesh. The words are powerful. Words are very powerful. So what is it in your life that when you give, do you ever feel like, I just don't quite feel connected. Maybe something just don't quite feel right. What is it in your life? And I invite you to look inside as we go through this journey of Cain. Now I want you to notice in verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your face downcast? And I want you to ponder that for a minute. God literally come to Cain and asked him, why are you angry and why is your face downcast? And I want you to think in your own life, is there times that you feel angry, depressed, upset? Things don't seem to go right and we get bitter, we get frustrated, and we get upset. And we don't look inside to find out what's going on, but we start looking at everyone else around us. You know, if it wasn't for that person, it would be all the better. I mean, if it wouldn't be for that person just messes my life up. Or we start just blaming other people, okay? We blame other people for our own anger and our bitterness and your hard life. Things get hard sometimes. And you know what we first want to do? Instead of looking inside and crying out to God and understanding what is going on, do we not stop and try and blame someone else and say, you know, if it wasn't for them, I could be like this or this or this or whatever. And I wonder what it is that God wants to speak to us this morning. What is it that God wants to speak to us this morning? As I think of that, even in churches today, schools, families, homes, all around us, we have these people that come and they share pain from their past. And, you know, they rub shoulders with someone and all of a sudden, I'm not comfortable anymore because something happened. That person rubbed me the wrong way. And the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And sometimes, people, I really believe, now if there's outright sin, I understand this. But listen, sometimes I believe we need to rub shoulders with one another. We really do. We might not always agree, but we need to rub shoulders with one another. We learn so much if we're willing to do that. We have got to. But you know what? When somebody comes up against us, the first thing we want to do is push them aside, and I want to just stay on my journey, my focus, my life, my ideas. But I want you to notice what God said to Cain right here. And I want you to think about this. Cain was also thinking this about Abel, you know, because he was already thinking in his mind, okay, if Abel wasn't here, see, if Abel wasn't here, God would accept my offering. If Abel would be dead, he would accept my offering. There wouldn't be nobody else, right? I'd be the only one. So if I get rid of Abel, then God has to accept my offering. See, we do that in amongst people. If we don't associate with that person or that person or that person, then I can finally associate with God. And when all along, most times it's right inside. It starts right inside ourselves. Look at verse 7. It says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Ooh. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And I wonder as you think of that, what does that mean in your life this morning? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? What does that look like? What does being right look like to you this morning? Because accepted does not mean that life is going to be easy. Accepted doesn't even mean that. But what does it mean if you do what is right? And I looked it up a little bit. And right means the correct by the divine word. Correct by the divine word. Righteousness. How does your life line up with God? See, most times we want to look at our life on a level like a line like this here. And we look at this person, we look at this person, and we try and get somewhere. Well, if we get right here in the middle somewhere, this will be all right. You know what? God wants to know that we are in line with Him. Vertical. Not compared to one another. We're not supposed to compare ourselves one to another, but that we are in line with God. How is your relationship this morning with Jesus Christ? How is your relationship with God this morning? As you think about not worrying about the world around us, but how is your relationship with God? Okay, if your relationship with God is connected and is on the right track, we will be able to bump shoulders with other people, will we not? Because in that, we are already accepted by God. We're not looking for acceptance by someone else. We're not looking for acceptance by other people. Because we already can know then that we are accepted by an almighty God. Does that make sense? We're accepted by an almighty God. Okay? And there's where I had that verse in Deuteronomy 30. When Tommy brought that up this morning, I was like, whoa, all right. Life and death. Life and death. Deuteronomy 30 verses 15 through 20 talk about that. And it says, I have set before you this very day life and death. And he says, blessings and cursings. And we have a choice. We have a choice that we can do. He cries out to us that he set these things before us for us to choose. So we do have a choice whether or not we're going to choose life or death. And at the very end of that, he says, choose life. Folks, I can't say it enough about how much it means to choose life. There is so many dark things in our world around us. There's so many things that want to bring darkness, that want to hinder our walk, that want to do all kinds of things. But the joy of walking in the light, there is nothing like it. There's nothing, absolutely nothing like it, walking in the light where there is no darkness. Verse 7 says, but if you do not do what is right, and there again, the word right, correct by the divine word, right, righteousness, right living. Correct by the divine word. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Guess what? That's not at your neighbor's door. That's at your door. If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Okay? It desires to have you, but you must master it. It desires to have you, but you must master it. That's a choice too, but it's a command. It's a command, but we need to choose to do that. I want to read a couple verses quickly out of 1 Corinthians, and you're welcome to turn there if you want. 1 Corinthians 9, at the end of the chapter. And the reason being, I just want that there where it desires to have you, but you must master it. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training, and they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Mastery. We need to master what is crouching at our door. You know, so many times when this stuff's going on, we're looking at the person next to us trying to figure out that, you know what? If that would change and that would change and that would change, my life would be in order. No. No. Look inside your own life. Look inside your life. What is going on in your life this morning? What is happening that sin could be crouching at the door and that you need the master? What is happening? What is right there at the door that you know that you got to say no? That you know that you've got to say no. Again, maybe over here. Maybe it's over here. Maybe it's somewhere else. What is it that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have got to say no because it's against God? And it's sin. And it's crouching at your door. And you are called to master it. And you can only master it in your own life. Okay. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Now I want you to think about something there. Cain definitely made a choice. At that point, he made a choice. You know, God asked him why he's angry. Okay. He asked him why he's angry, why his face is downcast. Then God said to him, he said, do you not think that if you would do right, I would accept your sacrifice? Cain had a choice to do right, but he didn't take it. He didn't take it. He still believed his way was right. He still believed in his own flesh. He still believed that what he was going to do was right. If he would just kill his brother, everything would be better. I like to think of it that Cain followed his own heart. And Jeremiah 17:9, I believe it is, says that the heart above all, this is my words, I'm not exactly sure the exact words, but it says something to do with the fact that the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Who can understand it? And I say that to say, don't follow your heart. Follow your conscience. We cannot follow our heart. We say, oh, I'm just following my heart. Guess what? It's deceitfully wicked. Cain was also following his heart. He believed that he was doing what was right. And God had given him a choice. God had given him a choice to do right. I don't see this sometimes much different than Christians today in a choice that we have with our brothers and sisters in a church. You know, people rub us the wrong way. Things happen. First thing we want to do is ignore that person, and we want to avoid that person, and we want them to get out of our life. Because if they are out of my life, I then can be right. That is the thinking of Cain. That is the path of Cain. And I want to read what happens, because it brings it to death. It brings nothing but death. When we think of that in our churches, how many times do we rub someone and we bump against them, and you know what? It hurts, and we say, you know what? I want nothing to do with them. I'm going to ignore them. And we walk away from them. Listen to what happened here. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? And I want you to think about it. God didn't say, where is my child? He said, where is your brother or sister? I'm thinking of it in the church now. But where is your brother Abel? And I want you to stop and ask yourself, where is my brother or sister this morning in Christ? His reply was, I don't know. I don't know. Then he asked a question that I think many Christians ask today. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Are you? Are you your brother's keeper? Do you ever wonder if you are your brother's keeper? Now, first of all, I was talking about sin crouching at our door. We need to look in. But now, I'm asking a question for you to consider. Are you responsible for your brother? Are you your brother's keeper? And I'm not talking about responsible for their sins. I'm talking about whether or not you're willing to speak life into them, whether or not you're willing to speak to that person that might have rubbed you the wrong way, to bring life, words of life, to breathe into them the very nature of God Himself, words of life. Do we ever use that question as an excuse? Am I my brother's keeper? Do I need to go talk to that person? Ouch. And I ponder this over and over and over. How many times do we kill our brothers and sisters in the church in Christ because we think we're not our brother's keeper? Now, verse 10 says this. The Lord said, what have you done? Question he's asking Cain. What have you done? And he says, listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now I want you to think about something. In that person, that God may have put on your heart this morning that you have rejected, that you have determined to turn your back on. Anything that may have happened, do you not think that that brother and sister's blood of rejection, shame, pain is crying out to God because we've turned our backs on them? Is it any different than a murder? Is it? I'm just calling us to understand something, that in the brotherhood of believers, we kill. And we try and justify it. Am I my brother's keeper? Or we try and justify it by saying, well, my way is going to be right. And God has given us a choice. God has definitely given us a choice to do right. And we know what the right thing is to do. But many times we try and justify it and walk away. Verse 11 says, now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And I have a question. Do you think for 1 minute that God don't allow a curse to come in our lives because of that very thing? Because of our rejection of our brother or sister in Christ? Because we are just like Cain. We are just like Cain. Verse 12, when you work the ground, it will no longer yield crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. Not so. I'm going to stop right there as far as Genesis, because I want to go on to that some other time. I want to pursue the rest of that whole passage of city building. But right there, Cain was so worried that as he walked out, as God rejected him and he walked out from his presence, that people would kill him. And God said, not so. I will put a mark on you, and it will not happen. Anybody that killed him would be punished seven times more than that. But anyway, I'm asking you as you look in your own life this morning, what is it that you would be afraid of? What is it that maybe you have killed someone? And I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about in the soul area. I'm talking about rejection. Just pushing somebody out. Just pushing them away. What is it in our lives today? What are we dealing with today spiritually? This is a physical of what I want to take to the spiritual, the thing that happened here with Cain and Abel. And yet it's so prevalent in our churches around us, in our groups, in our people, and the Christian society around us. In closing, as we think about this, I want to read from Revelation 21. And you can turn there. Revelation 21, verse 5. And as you think about, if God has laid somebody on your heart, and or something that you want to repent of or cry out to God. After I'm done reading this here, Jason's going to have a song that he's going to put on. And I just want to say the altar's open. If there's something you need to deal with, work with, we want to pray for you. I'm just going to leave it open that way. And then I'll come up and close afterwards. But I long that people would recognize that in rejecting people, we are killing them no different than somebody that's killing somebody in the flesh with a knife. Revelation 21, verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, and this is where the life of this all comes in. And that's why I want to speak life. I'm not going to end with them words of death that we kill people because we do. But here's the promise. Here's the promise. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Heaven belongs to those who, knowing their souls are parched by sin, have earnestly sought the satisfaction of salvation and eternal life. And this morning, as you think about that, as you know that your soul is parched by sin, as you look back and you know where you come from, where you're at today, and where you're heading. Recognizing that our souls are parched by sin, but have earnestly sought the satisfaction of salvation and eternal life. Sin, is sin crouching at your door? Is there something that we need to cry out? Verse 7 says, he who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. What a promise. What a promise. He who overcomes, he who stops that sin that's crouching at the door to block it off and to cry out to an almighty God. Listen, he who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, and folks, we think of this all in the flesh. I want us to take that to the soul and also to the spiritual level. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And by the way, the first death is if you're willing to die to it today. If you're willing to die to it today, that's the first death. Revelation 22, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. And this morning, as you think of that, the promise that we have because Jesus came and died on the cross, that we can be forgiven. That his blood was shed for you and I for the remission of sin. That was shed there. Cain didn't have that at that time. Okay? Listen, God made a way that you and I can be made right, the righteousness of God, in him alone, not in your own strength. But we still have a choice whether or not we are going to be right. Are we going to do it right? Are we going to live right? Are we going to love our brother? Are we our brother's keeper? What is going on in your life as we shared this morning? If you'd play that song. And I'm just going to say that if anyone wants to pray and come to the altar and pray, I'm going to come up here and close after this song is over then. Just let this speak to you. Yeah.
I don't know. That song keeps going through my head. I had it on my ringtone for long. I don't want to go through the motions, but it says this might hurt. But,
yeah. Amen.
I'm kind of nervous about it, but I do want to make myself... I know this weekend I was brought to my attention that about 10 years ago that I come across my words are strong and my even my personality is that way. And this girl come up to me this week and said that she just wanted to forgive me for being, I don't even remember what, but I know I put some bitterness in her life just being... opinionated, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but I know I've not always spoke words of life to people, and it's bothered me. And if there's anybody here, please don't be ashamed or scared to come to me about it. I want to be set free from it, and I don't want to hold y'all back or anybody back from facing freedom to, it just, you know, I consider myself a pretty good fella, and I don't feel like I beat around the bush and stuff, but sometimes that offends people, and I guess this girl just brought to my attention that, wow, I'm not who I think I am. You know, sometimes I put on might say something that I don't think bothers me, but might bother somebody else. Mm. Not bringing life to other people. And I really want to, if there's something on your mind that you think of, please let me know, because I don't want to carry that no more.
Amen. I bless you in that, Tommy. And listen, is there anybody sitting here that has a word of life for Tommy? Anybody that has a word of life? Right off the bat, I'll think of something, Tommy, that I bless you in your being upfront and open and in recognizing that in a prophetic way, we have to be so cautious because we do step on people's toes. And in recognizing it is going to help you a lot. And don't walk in fear. But to recognize it is going to help a lot. Does anybody have a word of life for Tommy? Anybody? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Marie. Yes.
It always blesses me when Tommy shares, because he always shares with a pure heart. Yeah, sometimes, you know, I understand sometimes it's strength.
Yeah. Oh, glory. Amen. Amen. Yeah. No, thank you for that. That's very, very true. Very true, because the devil will come against it two ways like that. Either with they didn't want to hear it at all, or they blame it on something. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm just going to open it up. If God has laid something in your heart, maybe there's something that you want to share. Why don't we play that song and just stop and ponder. As this song is playing, just think, ponder, and allow God to speak to you, and we'll open it up for a time of sharing that. But if you want to come to the altar through that, feel free.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. He is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. He is calling. He is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there.
As you pondered with that song playing, as you thought about it, is there anyone that has something they'd like to share? I mean, is there anyone that would like to share something that God has laid on their heart in a confession, like Tommy, just something, anything that you're thinking about that God may have been moving in your heart? We're not going to prolong it long, but I just thought if there is someone, I would just ask. Yeah. I'll just open it up. Praise the Lord. That's all I can say is praise the Lord. Wow. I bless you in that, Mark, because in you I see a man that wants to do right. And your strength and your walk and everything I see about you is that. And I just bless you in pursuing that and continue to walk in that. Amen. Amen. Wow. All right. Thank you for sharing, those of you that did. And let's stand, and I'll have a closing prayer. Father, we come to you, and I thank you again for your love. And God, the fact that you have sent your Son Jesus, that we all can turn and have a second chance, third and a fourth chance. So God, we just cry out to you this morning, and I thank you for that. And God, if there's anything else that's in someone's life that they can turn to you and say, yes, Lord, and no to Satan. And God, as I think of the whole words of sin crouching at the door, God, that we would recognize that that is the devil's desire. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And God, we can claim them promises this morning. And as we go from here, God, I pray that each one of us would hang on to the very promises of God for life and life more abundant. And God, we just ask now that as we depart from here, that we would go in Jesus' name. Amen. You all are dismissed.